And this pronouns, the I, you, we, the reason it's more pronouns, because in the previous book, The War Works Hard, there was a poem pronouns, and this is continuation. That one is he, she, they. This is just to prove I know all the pronouns. And so the other one, pronouns, the old, yes, and this one, the older pronoun says, he plays the train, it's not in the new book, it's in the older one. He plays the train, she plays the whistle, they move away. He plays a rope, she plays a tree, they swing. He plays a dream, she plays a feather, they fly. He plays a general, she plays an army, they declare war. Tensor is. But I remember something that later I thought of it as funny. At that time, when I heard it, I took it seriously. But then in America, I thought it wasn't that funny. When I was leaving, one of my friends, even though I was, you know, there's urgency in leaving, he said he was worried not about that. He said, but you're trying to go to America. He was concerned. He said, but poetry is marginal in America. So that was his concern, that how you go to America, you're going to be dead there. It's worse than death here than if you're killed or something. But so then I said, like, I took it seriously. Like, I'm going, it's going to be risky. I'm going to a place with no poetry or something. I mean, like that. But then what I thought of it here, I thought, wasn't that a funny warning? But actually, to be honest, I discovered this, it was not true. It is here, it's not what we thought of poetry in the West. It's yeah, just to continue finish my answer about, we're talking about the traditions of Arab poetry, Arabic poetry, and we have something very that is a mark, like it's called traditional Amudi poetry in the Arab world. It's very strict, has certain forms, and a lot of people in the Arab world think of it as that's the poetry. Everything else, it's prose. Oh, so okay. Kind of there is a debate to consider this poetry or prose, and how do you know this is poetry? What if it doesn't have those rhymes, those rhythms, what makes you think it's poetry? And then, and of course, there's influence from the West, and that poetry is, how do you decide? And there's a lot of Arabs quote, the modern ones quote Emily Dickinson, who said that if you feel the head of
the top of your head is taken off.
Yeah, then, you know, it's poetry. So a lot of and even in the Arab world, who write modern poetry, they always quote Emily Dickinson. That's right. Not by rhymes, but that's how you feel as poetry. And there were, of course, and Al Sayyab, who was the first in the 15 Arab Iraqi poets I have. He and Nazik al Malaika, the first two actually in the book, they started the movement. It was in Iraq in the 40s to break off from this traditional poetry. They called it Ashar al-Hur, free verse poetry, and that influenced the rest of the Arab world. That's how it started.
Do you think they were influenced by beat writers that were doing free verse, or
I think they were influenced in general by not only later other modern writers, like Sargon Bulus was influenced, who was living here. He died a few years ago. But Sayyab and Malaika, they were influenced in general by the translated American and Western poetry. They studied English literature, so they were influenced. And
what was the time frame for that? What decades?
In 1941.
Okay.
I actually promised about that earlier. There was a question about a poem, A Forgotten Moon, and you asked me what's the story behind it. So I said I will tell you. So maybe that this time to let you know that.
Has everyone read the book? You all come in. You came in having.
We came to buy it.
Okay.
And hear readings. Yeah.
So one time I was watching the news, and there was. In the news, this interview, and the place was a place for people who have dementia, and the journalist was interviewing Sandra O'Connor because, not because of her position in the government, but because her husband was there in the, among the patients, and she was standing by her husband, but her husband was holding hand with another woman who has dementia, and they were in love. He doesn't know, he forgot this woman, his wife, and next to him, he doesn't remember her. And I was, what attracted my attention the most is that how Sandra replied to the journalist who said that if she thought, what does she think of this? And she said, he's not cheating me, he just forgot me. So, but I thought that this a good story for a poem. So I that's how I wrote this Forgotten Moon. I know that if I saw a Kamazin, I would say he's pretending he forgot.
I know.
He's pretending to have dementia.
But that man looked, he was, seriously, he didn't seem he was pretending. Anyways, that she was so kind to say that. Forgot, so that's why I dedicated it to her. Because somebody said, what does this poem has to do with the Supreme Court? I said, oh, I didn't even know that time she was. They told me later, she in the, this is the poem, it's to one page. He has a long story, and so does she. Details, events, and people. None of it matters to their entwined fingers at this moment, in this place of oblivion. 80 years went by. Voices grew distant, doors were opened and closed, places filled up and emptied out, while the wind swept away the names and the dates and the notes, and all of it dissolved in the river that flowed behind them. He has a long story, and so does she. He tells her nothing, and she does the same. A half moon rises. No one knows where the other half is hiding.
She was telling
beautiful.
Me just to,
that's, so
that's what she thought was your meaning. But I didn't get it at first.
Right, the Alzheimer's, the end of it, those last few lines are totally, if you've known anyone with Alzheimer's, and I have an aunt that had Alzheimer's, and it's just, that's, I mean, there's no talking.
Yes.